Good morning. Last week we began a message of Christmas on Look to the Star. And we talked about the Magi that were coming from the east looking for the star and for what it represented. This morning I want to continue looking at that same passage. So if you have your Bibles, open them please to Matthew chapter 2, Matthew the second chapter. And we're going to look at verses 3 through 8 and 16 through 18. And we're going to look at this passage from the perspective of Herod and Herod's decision to ignore the star. Each of us stand in our lives at many, many crossroads. We have many decisions that we have to make. Some of those decisions are extremely mundane. Do I have coffee in my cream or do I not have coffee in my cream? Do I eat healthy for breakfast and have oatmeal or a healthy cereal, or do I have a donut or a bagel or a muffin? Do I go right? Do I go left? All kinds of decisions, many mundane. And then there are the more important decisions that we have to make, decisions that can be life-changing, decisions that are extremely difficult, standing beside the bedside of a loved one and making the decision, do we end life support or do we continue it? Hearing from the doctor those most fateful words, you have cancer and these are your options for treatment. There are many, many decisions that we have to make. And there's also the decision we have to make that you and I that are here today, we have to make that decision as to what do we do with this star of Christmas? Do we accept the star? Do we ignore the star? It was a decision that Herod had to make as he stood at the crossroads having heard that information. And so follow with me, if you will, this morning as we read this passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That's from Micah chapter 5. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Now let's move down to verse 16 through 18. For in between this, the Magi have gone to see the child, and the angel of the Lord has told them not to go back to Herod, but to depart a different way. And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to join together this morning. And yet the great responsibility that each of us have in deciding what we will do with the star, as we look at the lessons and the observations that we can make from the life of Herod, may we recognize that we too, like him, stand at a crossroads this Christmas season and must decide what we are going to do. We pray that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit this morning. On this day of Advent in which we remember your prophetic word, as this passage points out those two prophecies from Micah and Jeremiah, May we be reminded that, Lord, nothing takes you by surprise, but even this most difficult of situations was all part of your plan. And now be with us as we share this word together. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Herod was the king. In fact, I want you to ponder this morning. Why would the person chosen to care for God's people harm those people that he was chosen to care for? Herod was the king of Bethlehem. He was the king of Ramah. He was the king of all that vicinity. And as the chosen person of God, it was his responsibility to watch for and care for those people. And yet, rather than protecting them, rather than watching over them, rather than fulfilling his kingly responsibility, he causes great sorrow and great pain to be inflicted on family members in the death of these young boys. Why would he do that? I think the answer to that is found in four different observations that we can make about this passage this morning. And I want to look at those four observations because as we do that, though, I also want to ask you to ask yourself, how do I respond in these circumstances and in these situations? Because I may say, oh, I'm either not responsible for other people or I would never do that. And hopefully that would be true. But what do we do with the star at Christmas? You see, I think for Herod's actions, we can make these four observations that should be lessons for our lives. So let's look at those. Observation number one is this. Herod was not looking for the star. Notice what it says in verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He wasn't looking. The star was noticeable. If he'd have been out looking at the heavens, he could have seen the star. But you know what? Herod wasn't looking for the star. Now, that's interesting because there were people in his district, there were people in his kingdom that were looking for the star. A little bit later, we're going to look at the stories of Simeon and Anna in the temple. And both Simeon and Anna got up every day and went to the temple in anticipation for Messiah coming. So there were people in the area that was looking with anticipation. So it's not like Herod had no clue. It's not like that there were not people around in his area that had the potential to understand. But Herod had made a choice. Herod had chosen that he really wasn't going to focus on the things of God, that he wasn't going to focus on what God was doing in his life, but he was going to focus on his own little domain. What about you and me? At this Christmas season, what do we focus on? Do we focus on the latest, brightest gadgets? I was talking to Santa Claus the other day, and Santa Claus was telling me about the number of 5, 6, and 7-year-olds that what they want for Christmas is an iPhone 11 that costs $1,200 for an iPhone. And that's what they want. Or this gadget, or this toy, or that toy. You see, we teach our children, and there's nothing wrong with gifts. There's nothing wrong with gift giving. But where is the focus? Simeon and Anna lived in anticipation of what God was going to do. But not only that, we see that the chief priests and the scribes, they knew the place. Whenever Herod came to them and said to them, where's he going to be born? And if you look at that passage, it's interesting. He didn't say, my chief priests and my scribes. He said, the people's chief priests and the people's scribes. He didn't even identify himself with any kind of religious worship at all. They weren't his spiritual leaders. They were the people's spiritual leaders. And so he asked them, he comes to them and says to them, where's this one going to be born? And they knew exactly where to tell him. They said, this is what the prophecy says, that out of Judah is going to come this one, that this ruler is going to come out of Judah, out of the city of Bethlehem. And so they too were looking and understood in anticipation for the star. But Herod was focused on Herod. Herod was focused on what was best for him. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that I am always focused on God. But that would be a lie. Because it is so easy for us in our world to get caught up with stuff. It's not just you, it's me. And sometimes God needs us to step back and stop and think, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? How does not only Christ's coming, but the whole of his life, and then the giving of his life that we'll celebrate in a few months, how does that impact me personally? Am I like Herod? Am I so caught up in my stuff and my world that I lose sight of the fact and don't look for the star? But there's a second observation that I see, and that's that Herod was troubled by the news of the star. For in verse 3 it says, and when Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and that disturbance led to all Jerusalem being disturbed with him. You see, again, Simeon and Anna were rejoicing. When the Christ child comes in, they look, and Simeon, what does Simeon say? I've seen the king. I've seen the Savior. I've seen the hope of the world. Now I'm ready to go home. Anna said the same thing. When they saw Christ, they rejoiced. They were overjoyed. Herod sees Christ, and it says that he was troubled in his soul. He was disturbed. And the word there in the original language means being in turmoil and in anguish. See, because confrontation with the star, if you really accept the star, it's going to change your life. It's going to change how you look at the world. It's going to change how you do things. It's going to change your priorities. And Simeon and Anna saw that. They saw that as the completion of their lives. But for Herod, it was anguishing and disturbing to the degree that it impacted those around him as well. And I wonder sometimes when we get so caught up in our own lives, when we get so caught up in our own stuff, do we come to the point that it spills over into others, that it spills over into our relationships with family members, with our spouse, with our significant others, with our children, with our employers? Does our disturbances, does our anguish, does our struggle with our relationship with God not only impact us, but does it move over into the rest of our world? Because the philosopher and poet is right that no man is an island, and that every one of us impact each other. Our lives are either blessed or our lives are disheartened by those around us. I said it again this morning. I got ready to leave Darlene and we've had our grandchildren this weekend. It's not quite like being up till 3 a.m., but it's pretty close. And we've had our grandchildren for the weekend. It's been a wonderful time. But you know, as I was leaving this morning, I was just thinking, I get to come be with the people that I love. It is just great to be here because I draw energy from you because you draw energy from Christ. But the fact of the matter is there are days that we can go the opposite direction as well. See, when Herod got the news, rather than rejoicing, rather than celebrating with others, the fact was that he was concerned about Herod. And not about the things of God, and not about what God was wanting to do in his life. He was only concerned about him. Which leads me to a third observation. Herod's troubles were addressed with self-serving behaviors. You see, we come to that point that we recognize, you know what, I'm just not quite focused. I've just kind of lost focus here, and I need to bring it back around. And that's okay, and maybe you are here this morning and you've kind of like got caught up in the stuff of the world and got caught up in all the commercialism and got caught up in everything else, and that's okay. We all get there sometimes. But the issue, again, we're standing at that crossroads. What are we going to do about it? And Herod, this was his conclusion. This is what he was going to do about it. Notice what it said in the passage. And Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report it to me so that I too may go and worship. He was talking the talk, but the passage shows that he wasn't walking the walk. And we can come in here and we can put on our smiles and we can fake everybody else out. But you know what? You can't fake out God. Don't miss the word secretly here. Things that are done above board are not done in secret. Herod was focused on him and he had a plan. And his plan was always, how can I watch out for number one? And so his solution to this was to look out what was best for him. This Christmas holiday, as you go through all of the stuff of Christmas, where's your focus? What are you really focused on? Is it, oh, maybe I'll get that new iPhone 11 like my five-year-old grandchild? Is it this, that, or the other? What are you focused on? Are you troubled by the fact that maybe I'm not doing exactly what God wants me to do? Maybe I'm this interaction with God is going to, for maybe God is expecting me to change a little bit. And I don't like to change. I like living in my comfort zone. Herod liked being king. He liked snapping his fingers and having people come and wait on him. And so he didn't want to change the status quo. And so in secret, he devises his own plan to do what he wants to do. See, he stated that his goal was worship. But God doesn't accept worship that's done in secret. God doesn't accept a secret plan. God wants us to be faithful to him. In a few moments, we're going to be celebrating a baptism. And there's nothing magical about this water. It came from a well. But what it signifies is that I will not do things in secret. I want people to know. And so in a few moments when Caleb comes and makes his testimony before us, he's saying, it's not going to be in secret. I want people to know. Have we lost the impact of our baptism? Have we become so enamored with stuff that we've forgotten what God really wants to do in our lives? How he really wants to change us. You see, Herod had other plans. And God knew his heart. In fact, God had always known his heart. In fact, God knows your heart. And God has always known your heart. And maybe God is here today saying to you, your heart has gotten a little off, Jerry. And you just need to refocus. At this Christmas season, remember what the Christ child is all about. It's about how much I love you. It's about how much I was willing to make sacrifice for you. For you, Jerry. You didn't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. But he chose to love us that much. What does that news do for you? Does it cause you to be troubled in your heart like Herod? Which leads me to a fourth observation. As a king, Herod was the opposite of what God wanted him to be. He was the opposite of what he should have been. God wanted him to be protector. He was destroyer. The ruler that was to shepherd the people of God, Herod caused suffering on the people of God. God calls you and me. God calls me to shepherd you. He has called me to do that. And there is not a day goes by, and I don't say this flippantly, I say this honestly. There's not a day goes by that I ask myself, Jerry, are you helping or are you hurting? But that should be every one of us as children of God. Not just to other members of this congregation, but to other Christians and to those who are non-believers in our world. We need to be asking ourselves, am I hurting or am I helping? Am I being what God wants me to be or am I being the opposite? Am I destroying the children of Ramah rather than helping? See, he allowed his anger to destroy the innocent. How many times do I do that by my testimony and by my life? He thought he could alter the plan of God. I'll take care of this problem. The Magi said the star was here 2 years ago. Everybody in Bethlehem is going to, it's going to be in the area of Bethlehem. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take out every little boy under 2 years old. Now, hear that younger than two-year-old cry. Approximately 30, by the way, I didn't plan that. Thank you. Approximately 30 families went to bed weeping because the one who was called to make a difference chose to destroy rather than to build up. What about me and you this year at Christmas? I think there's three principles that we can take away from this morning. The first of those is this. You know, just because you and I are people of God and in the place of God's blessing doesn't mean we can't lose sight of our calling. That you can be a member of this church, you can be a leader of this church, you could have attended this church, you could have been a child of God for years. That doesn't guarantee that you can't lose sight of what God wants to do in your life. Herod was in a chosen place, and yet he lost sight of what God wanted. We have a choice in our life as how we'll respond to the will and the work of God. You have that choice. I have that choice. Your children can't make it for you. Your parents can't make it for you. Your significant other can't make it for you. Your friends can't make it for you. It is a choice each and every one of us has to make ourselves. And we take the responsibility for that choice that we make. But I'll tell you this, even though we choose our own way, even though we hurt others, you're not going to stop God. So if you think that you can do it your way and it's a better way and you'll pull the wool over God's eyes, can I tell you something? You're wrong. You can't outdo God. So what do I want for you this morning? I want you to think about, where are you at? What's going on? This Christmas season, you're standing at a crossroads. And maybe if you look at your life, you can say, you know what, I've been doing good. I've been moving in the right direction and everything's going good. And if that's where you're at, praise God. Maybe some of you have just needed a little course correction and you're saying, well, you know what, I'm doing pretty good, but I get caught up and maybe I need to refocus. Maybe some of you have, like Herod, you've been running a long time, doing your own thing, trying to get as far away from God, and you're miserable. And this morning, God is saying to you, come home. Come home to me. Come home, because I want what's best for you. That's why I sent this baby, because I want what's best for you. In just a moment, we're going to sing, and I'm going to be slipping out as we get ready for our baptismal service. But after service, if God has spoken to you this morning and you would like to talk to me or talk to Pastor Jim or someone about how you need to alter course, would you seek me out or give me a call this morning or send me an email this week? And let me take the Word of God and show you how you too can do a course correction, and that this can be the greatest Christmas that you've ever celebrated. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the truth of your Word this morning. And I just pray and ask that we would be faithful to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, as we prepare to witness this baptism, we can remember that baptism is a time of celebration. And watching someone in their act of worship, in obedience to God. So let's stand together and let's sing, There's Power in the Blood.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from
The Word of God asks us to be obedient to Him. He said to the church, I want you to do these things. I want you to go and evangelize. I want you to baptize. And I want you to teach. And there's nothing magical about baptism, but it is an outward sign of that which God has done inside of our hearts. And this morning, Caleb Burnett has come saying that he wants to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. In just a couple of weeks, he'll also be joining our church as a new member, and we look forward to that as well. And so I ask you as the congregation, will you, as the body of Christ, pray for Caleb in this decision that he has made, that he would live the life that God chooses and desires for him to live? If so, say, we will. And Caleb, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
I have.
Then, based on your testimony, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for Caleb and for his life, and we pray that you would continue to work in his life and that you would continue to bless him and be with him as he grows in his relationship, not only with you, but with this church. Lord, may we as the body of Christ in this place be an encouragement to him, to build him up, to encourage him to use the gifts that you have given him to the glory of God. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for his life and his commitment to you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. But Father, we also pray that as we leave this place today, that we would be reminded of your great love for us in sending your Son. And so as we go forth from this place, may we be reminded of the fact that each of us are called to make a decision as to what we would do with a star. Lord, may our decision never be to ignore the star. We pray and ask these things as we go forth to serve you. And all God's people said, amen. Go forth and serve the Lord.